Hey, Stassi.
Hallie, guess what? I've got great news for you, girlfriend.
What?
Headphones.
We love headphones.
I think that they are the most important part of my daily life because I don't like talking to anyone.
You're a musician and I edit all our episodes, so we both listen to the sounds of our own voice a lot. And mm-hmm. What a great way to do that, through headphones. You know what headphones are great?
Tell me.
Studio headphones.
Tell me more.
Studio is a Swedish company that uses Scandinavian designs to create headphones with impeccable clarity.
Tell me about Scandinavian design. I imagine it's blonde and voluptuous.
Most fashion headphones tend to lack proper sound quality, and the ones with really great sound quality are bulky and not fashionable, and we don't do that shit. Studio is gonna bridge that gap for you.
Thanks, Studio.
Studio is the highest rated headphones on the market for a fraction of the cost, and if you get them today with the discount code CULTS15, you will get 15% off any purchase.
Holy shit!
Any purchase! Studio, cool guys and gals, and those in between that they are, sent us two pairs of their Regent headphones.
Yes, and I am in love with the Regent headphones because it's their premium on-ear model, and the instrumental tones and the sound is just, the balance is, you don't find that anywhere else.
They provide worldwide shipping. I know we got some fans in Australia.
Hey, Australian people, do you like listening to music or podcasts or maybe your own voice as well?
Let's do Studio. You can wear these headphones to drown out the screaming of all those in the cult around you. Today at work, I had a Trump voter in my section, and I know he was a Trump voter because he was watching the tax bill vote on his phone, and he was, like, talking to his wife, and he's like, you know, I get a lot of flack here for being a conservative. People used to make fun of my Trump Pence sticker on the back of my car, and I was a good Christian and did not pour hot coffee on his face.
Oh my God. Good for you.
You know who wasn't a good Christian?
Mike Flynn.
I was gonna say Ross Terrio.
Are we recording?
We are.
Oh shit. Yep. We're back after Thanksgiving break.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was very nice. We went to a lovely, albeit overpriced, restaurant about 40 minutes from here, and it was very great and scenic and lovely. How about yourself?
It was a bunch of angry people in Boston.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
Today's December 1st, and today we're talking about the Ant Hill Kids.
The fun and exciting story of the Ant Hill Children.
When Stassi first told me about this cult, I thought it sounded like the Garbage Pail Kids or the Cabbage Patch Dolls.
I thought it sounded like the Boxcar Kids, right?
So basically, we thought it sounded like a fun
children's book series. Thing.
It was anything but. Let's talk about Ross
Terrio.
That's how you say it.
Okay. Also, this one, I just wanted to set this up with a little advisory warning. This one is pretty graphic and gruesome.
It's really violent, guys.
So please, I would not recommend listening to this while you are eating.
Or with your children, which you should never be doing anyway.
True.
Ross was born on May 6th. I keep saying Ross. You know why? Because he's the worst, like Ross on Friends.
I would not have guessed that.
That I'm joking. I just keep misreading it. Ross Terrio was born May 16th, 1947 in the
Saguenay Valley, I'm going to guess.
In Quebec. Yep. We're going to give that our best shot as, you know, we're going to get some more angry emails from Canadians.
So he dropped out of school, 7th grade. That's middle school for us. So in later life, he would say that his early childhood and upbringing was abusive, but there's no sort of record of him saying anything like that while he was growing up, and his parents always denied that.
He was raised Catholic, which, as we know, is never a good start.
Oh, no.
As I speak from experience, so again, no more angry emails. He was raised Catholic. He eventually converts to Seventh-day Adventist, which is a type of Protestantism. But before this, he marries Francine Gurney, and they move to Montreal. They have two sons, Ross Jr. and Francois.
Yes.
Now, while he's, you know, finding Protestant Jesus, He develops ulcers. He gets surgery. He suffers from surgical complications. And then he develops chronic pain.
Yes, and that's not fun.
It leads him to be very irritable and, like a Dr. House character, develop a fascination with medicine and anatomy and trying to make the pain stop.
Yes, so this is, during all this painful time for him, this is when he really starts throwing himself into the Seventh-day Adventism. But he also, with equal measure and gusto, throws himself into drinking, spending money, and fucking lots of other women.
He also starts to flex his powers of persuasion. He convinces people in the church and just people he runs into in all of his debauchery to leave their lives behind and follow him. Most of the people are in their late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
What are they following exactly, Stassi?
So, okay, one of Rosh's core beliefs was that the war between good and evil was imminent, and that it once it started, it would sort of begin the process of the end of the world. So he believed to sort of protect himself from it or delay it, he had to adopt a healthy and holistic lifestyle. So that means
no fun.
Basically, yeah. No bad food, which means no good food. No tobacco, no drugs, no alcohol.
His community was born in 1977, so 10 years after he got married and became involved with the Adventists. He said this community was a place where you could also live free of sin, be on the side of the good guys, listen to him preach about equality and unity. And this
They love preaching.
They do love their preaching. And this was somehow, you know, going to hold the war back.
So Rosh begins going by the name in French, which I'm...
It's also Yiddish.
Moisha.
It's a...
Which means Moses.
Yeah, it's diminutive of Moses. And that's always a good sign when people start giving themselves biblical names.
Biblical renaming is always a big fucking red flag.
Especially really obvious biblical ones like Moses. Not like Jacob or James, but like Moses or Judas or Lucifer or something.
Yeah, this community, of course, is not gonna be all fun and games for very long. Because he is still drinking really hard. And he tells his small group of followers that they are no longer allowed to contact their families at all, nor are they allowed to contact other members in the Church of Seventh-day Adventists.
Whoop, there it is.
Yeah. So that's always, of course, another huge red flag when they tell you who you can and cannot talk to.
And this is just like the first flag when you open the door to the red flag store. Like... Because immediately afterwards, he decides he gets to arrange who has sex with who.
Of course.
He also decrees that no one is allowed to talk unless he is there with them.
That's... Okay. That's like when the teacher leaves the room while you're taking a test and, like, everyone just start feeling, what'd you get for number four? Like, would you actually follow that?
No.
No.
Their source of income was interesting.
It was baked goods.
And Stassi is very on board with that.
Yes, I am.
However,
but if you did not, you know, make the amount of money or income you were supposed to make
from the baked goods,
yes, you would be punished.
And it's a doozy how that happens.
We will get into punishments later.
Now, the apocalypse was scheduled for February of 1979.
Can we make like an apocalypse calendar of like all the different apocalypse we've come across in our travels?
Oh my gosh, if someone on the Facebook group wants to do that and just mark all the apocalypse dates we've talked about, we'd love it. Maybe there's a pattern. Maybe we'll beautiful mind this.
Maybe there's like a month that they always are drawn to.
I mean, I feel pretty suicidal in February, so I can see why you'd want the world to end.
February 1979, God had told him this was to be. So, the year before, they move to the side of a mountain in Quebec. And there... Of course, there his followers tirelessly build themselves a tiny little village. And this is how they got their name, the Anthill Kids, because they reminded Roche as he, you know, sat down, relaxed, probably had some nice cold drinks.
Someone fanned him with palm fronds.
Yes. And as he was just sitting here getting his feet rubbed, watching his followers build the village... he thought they reminded him of hard-working ants.
Ugh.
That's so shitty.
I had a band teacher in fourth grade who used to say, many hands make light work. And he would stand in the middle of the room while we all packed up and cleaned up the entire room saying, many hands make like light work over and over, and he would never help. So I believe he started a cult.
That's so fucking annoying.
February 1979 passes without incident.
Of course.
So Roche starts to talk about how Earth time and God's time are passing at different rates.
That's such a last straw, like...
That's such, like, a Stephen Moffat Doctor Who episode.
I feel like that's the 1979 version of, like, pull it out of my ass, this is fake news kind of nonsense.
Oh, God, absolutely. You know?
Clearly, his power is gonna start slipping away, because people are questioning him and his, you know... His whole shtick.
So how, Stassi, do you regain power and control?
Hallie, that is a great question. And the answer, if you're Roche Terrio, is to marry every goddamn woman in your cult and impregnate all of them.
As one does.
Yes. So he would go on to have about 20 kids via the 8 or 9 women he had taken as wives. I say 8 or 9 just because there are some...
Conflicting reports.
Yes, exactly.
Also, cults never keep the best record.
Yeah, true. Except for Oneida.
They were organized. Be more like Oneida, guys. It makes our job easier.
Oneida's way cooler than all your cults.
A woman on our Facebook group says she realized all of her baking tins say Oneida on the bottom, so now she's making cult cakes.
Yes! Oh, please. I would love to see a photo of a cult cake.
We all would. So anyway, back to this cult,
yes,
the Anthill Kids.
Yes, back to the poor Anthill Kids. So by the 80s, there were almost 40 members of the Anthill Kids, of course, half of them being tiny
actual children.
Yes, tiny little ant kids.
So in 1984, he relocates the entire group to Burnt River, Ontario. That's a terrible name for
Burnt
a town.
Burnt River. You know, that is true. I didn't think of that before.
Well, that just sounds like a place people go to be sad and in a bad place.
Hallie, please tell me. What was everyday life like for an anthill kid?
It was really calm and full of a lot of great parental role models. What do you think? It was a disaster. Everyone wore identical tunics every day.
Yes.
Everyone was given new names that were biblical, and in addition to being Moisha was also called Father.
Jesus. Like,
I mean, he probably was
more of a stereotype.
He probably was the actual father to a good chunk of these people.
That is true, but it's like, Why does that do it for them all sexually? You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole other podcast. We should do that. We should talk about what is their deal sexually and why do they do this?
Terrio spied on his followers and he said he was doing this just to make sure that they were all devoted to him when he was out of the room. So I guess... Going back to earlier, you and I would be fucked because we'd be talking.
We've discussed so many times how awful we would be in a cult because we will just not be able to stop talking shit.
Our wills are too strong.
Yeah, well, we have some issues with authority.
That's also true.
Now, when he found out his followers had been talking shit on him, he punished them out of, like, a goddamn, like...
Saw,
I was thinking, like, you know, like, the Grecian depictions of the underworld.
Oh my god. It's just, okay, yeah, if you're squeamish or just a normal person by any stretch, you're probably gonna want to skip over the next minute.
And Hallie's gonna disassociate a little bit to get through this. Okay.
Yes, alright.
So, he beats them with belts and hammers.
He would suspend people from the ceiling.
Plucking out individual body hairs.
Forcing his followers to break their own legs with sledgehammers.
Sitting on lit stoves.
Do you think it was gas or electric?
Probably gas.
Yeah, you're right. I don't even know why I asked. Being shot in the shoulder by other members.
Having toes cut off with wire cutters.
Eating dead mice or feces.
He would shit on other people.
And, of course, the children were sexually abused, held over open flames, and nailed to trees while other kids threw stones at them.
At one point, Terrio leaves his own infant child outside to die in a blizzard.
Yes.
Now, why the fuck was he doing all this? What was his logic?
His cult logic. The goal was to purify them, basically.
All this unity and equality and being made of good.
I mean, I can't say that every time he would do any of the things we stated, he was saying, this is to purify you. But I do know that often cult members would be forced to undress and they would be beaten and whipped. And he said, this is to purify you. And he would also inject ethanol into people's stomachs or perform homemade circumcisions.
That sounds like a really great and safe thing to do outside of a hospital or a bris.
It's real fun. It's real fun. It's DIY. It's trending right now.
Okay, you say that, but I'm sure that's a thing somewhere.
Oh, you know it is somewhere.
Jesus.
So this man is horrible, evil, terrible, horrible, evil.
Now, you'd think we'd already gotten into the notable craziness.
Unfortunately, there is more.
You'd be wrong.
So when a man lives with the sole purpose to torture others, you know things are going to go downhill.
In September of 1988, so just a few years after they moved to Burnt River Devil's Ontario. Crotch, Ontario, Solange Boyard, who is one of his wives, had an upset stomach, and things escalated from there in an attempt to cure it.
This following quote I took from a High Beam Business article written by Paul Kayla and Ross Laver, because I feel like we can't really
do it justice.
So here we go.
So take it away.
Quote, wearing red velour robes and a gold-colored crown, the symbols of his proclaimed role as king of the Israelites, Terrio punched Boyard in the stomach, jammed a plastic tube up her rectum, and performed a crude enema with molasses and olive oil. Then, as she lay silent, he sliced open her abdomen with a freshly sharpened knife and ripped off a piece of her intestines with his bare hands. The quote-unquote operation completed, Terrio ordered another follower, Gabrielle Lavallée, to stitch up the gaping wound with a needle and thread. I feel like I need a minute after that one just to sort of purify my brain, but not in any way he would do that. I just feel very bad for this woman, and let's just move past this, and just, the sooner we talk, the sooner we can finish this episode.
I think I'm broken.
Yeah,
this I don't one's think I can good. Talk anymore.
This one's not a happy one.
Well, the next one, speaking of Gabrielle Lavallée, is the reason that the cult ended up the way it did.
Yes. So, the following year, the year after Solange, who of course died quite quickly after her fake surgery. So the next year, Gabrielle Lavallée had suffered between then and now, welding torches on her genitals, a hypodermic needle breaking into her back, eight of her teeth being some of her fingers removed with wire cutters, and having her left arm amputated. She tried to escape the cult, like a brave woman that she clearly is, but Terrio cut off some of her breast and hit her in the head with an axe.
This is like the first draft of a Saw movie.
Yeah.
Or just like even just like an even lower budget slasher movie where it's like, let's just try to think of everything we could do to hurt a human being and then we'll edit some stuff out later.
Yeah, this is really disgusting. Like, I hate slasher.
I hate gore. Well,
yeah.
I am so scared of body horror.
Yes.
It is one of the scariest, most disgusting things to me. It's why I can't watch movies like that. It's why when I saw 10 minutes of The Human Centipede, I threw up in the kitchen.
I could get through about one series of American Horror Story, and then I couldn't do it anymore.
And
it's just too much.
And this is real.
Yeah, and this happened in real life.
So after she has been hit in the head with the axe,
yes,
she escapes.
Yes.
She sought help from the authorities, and they finally arrested Terrio in 1989.
So at trial, he claims he felt remorse, and he apologized. But how could that ever possibly be forgiven?
In 1993, he was, thank God, convicted of murder.
Yes. So.
Ugh, my stomach hurts.
I know. This is not a fun episode.
This is You said this. You warned me.
I know.
You were like, the Antil Kids is so fucked up.
I did say that.
And I was like, yeah. I didn't fully understand it.
I think I did this whole research in one day because I knew I would not be able to make it back to it.
Yeah.
Like, I did it the one day, and then this is the first time I've looked at it since then because it is not fun.
So, where are they now? 20 of his children have found new families via adoption. Gabrielle Lavallee has recovered to the best of her ability, and she wrote a book called Alliance of the Sheep about the experiment.
So, from the High Beam Business article, we also found out that 3 of his former followers, after his arrest and, you know, the trial started, they moved into adjacent rented cabins together and opened a bakery and continued following him while he was in prison. So, they actually had conjugal visits, and eventually 2 of them bore him children while he was in prison.
Who gives conjugal visits?
To this person. Guy. Yeah.
Who has shown violence towards women.
Yeah.
And everybody. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Canada, man.
So, Hallie, I'll tell you something nice. On February 26th, 2011, 63-year-old Roche Thériault was killed by a stab wound to the neck at Dorchester Penitentiary in New Brunswick.
His cellmate, Matthew Gerard McDonald, who sounds like he's related to me, had made a homemade shiv and said to the guards immediately following the stabbing, "That piece of shit is down on the range. Here's the knife. I've sliced him up."
That's a good ending, I feel like.
That is definitely prison justice.
Yeah. God bless prison justice.
So that was the Antil Kids, and may fucking Moshe Thériault father Rosh rest in piss.
Any thoughts on the royal engagement?
Yeah, let's just have a cleanse there.
Yeah.
I love Meghan Markle. I'm excited for it.
I feel like I want to know more about her. She is gorgeous, and every time I see her face, I am charmed and delighted.
I am delighted because she's American, and it's time one of us got something good from that stupid country. And 2, they are going to be living in Kensington Palace, which was 2 blocks away from where I lived when I lived in London, and it's the most beautiful area in the whole city, and I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Any recommendations?
Whew. No. Just kind of keep your sanity and your wits about you. School's ending right now for a lot of people. It's the final crunch before finals.
Da-da-da-da.
We legally can't use this.
I never said what song it was.
Leave it out. and now I really want to go get some ice cream with my best friend.
We're going to go get some ice cream. And I guess my recommendation would be go get ice cream with somebody who's not going to cut you up.
Yes.
Good Lord.
All right. And I'm sorry if you've sent us an email in the past that we have yet to respond to.
We got a lot.
We're working our way through them. So you can expect one soon.
All right, guys. Have fun. Don't drown in a dry ditch.
Yeah, we don't want you guys to drown in a dry ditch. Trademark Cults of Our Lives.